time any writer wants to be innovative and wants to be original, and it can be really disenchanting to come up with an idea and to see that it's been done or to come across it being done. And how do you handle that in your own work?
You know, it's funny. Back when I was in advertising, that was the one thing I wanted to do. I wanted to be original. And I didn't own a television, and I never watched commercials, and I never, everyone in advertising, you would study the awards annuals, which are hardcover books, they're a compendium of all the best sort of advertising examples, and I would never read them when I first got in, because I didn't want to be polluted. And I think it was, it's sort of like that with the writing, but it's much less, I don't think about it to that extent. I the way I work best is not the way I wish I worked best. The way I actually work best is to not think, but just to do. When I wrote Dry, which was the Dry was really the first book I ever wrote, and the reason for that is because I was 30 and I got out of rehab, and it was the first time I'd been sober in my adult life. I mean, I really hadn't been sober since I was 16. I'd been a nightly drinker from 16 on, and I was 30.
You started when you were 13, but 16 is when you were really...
That was when I was going every...
Grab the bull by the horns.
You know, yeah. It was, and then at 17, it was every night. I would drink every single night. And by 18, 19, I was an alcoholic. I mean, I needed it. I needed to always drink. So I went through rehab when I was 30, and I got out. And I was living over here on 3rd Avenue and 10th Street in this really crappy little apartment. And I didn't know how to do anything at all. And I was horrified by that. I couldn't date anybody because I was so damaged. Not only did I have my background, my history, that I could never get through, you know, the third date. With that, I mean, tell me about your family, tell me about your past, you know. It was like a deal breaker by the third date, because it's just too much for one person to go through and remain sane. So I felt just already ruined. And then, on top of that, I was now sober for the first time, so...
How did you get over that?
Get over,
How did you, just by getting sober, that the problems of dating?
Well, no. What happened is, I got sober, and I was sober about a year and a half, and I relapsed, in a, just a huge way.
As one tends to do.
It was, yeah, I was much worse than I ever had been. And, well, first of all, when I got sober, that's when I started to write, because I had this just manic energy. And if I went downstairs to get cigarettes, I smoked at that time. I mean, I would be gone 10 minutes, and I'd spend the next 4 hours writing about it, just the tiniest detail, everything. Everything I did, I wrote about, and I was working, so I would email the document to myself, pick it up at work, and keep on writing. It was like a security blanket. It was, everything I had was this stupid journal. When I relapsed, I stopped writing completely, and I just started drinking and doing drugs I had never done before.
As happens.
Yeah, as happens. And I got to the point where I started to develop really serious physical symptoms. I began hallucinating. I had cardiac symptoms. And I knew I got alcohol poisoning. And I knew that I'd ended up having a heart attack. My heart started beating very irregularly, and then stopping and then starting. And I knew that
feeling.
This is how you die. This is it. I always wondered, how do you die from alcohol? You know, I mean, they always say it's a terminal illness, you know. But I mean, assuming you don't drive, how do you actually die? And well, so now I was starting to see how. You know, my system was shot. You could see my liver outlined in the mirror when I stood up, and I was a real mess. And
but you saw all this, but how long did it take before you started saying, I need to stop?
What happened is I got alcohol poisoning, which was when I began hallucinating spiders on my ceiling. I went up and Googled spiders, alcohol, and saw that was a symptom of late-stage alcoholism when it's chronic. You know, people in the very last stages of their alcoholism, of their illness, often hallucinate spiders. It's a common hallucination. And it freaked me out. I went downstairs to the market. I developed hives and I was shaking and I was more physically sick than I've ever been in my life. And I remember it took me like maybe 4 or 5 hours to get the physical strength to go downstairs to get a 6-pack of hard cider. Brought it back up to the apartment and downed a couple of them just really fast. And that took the edge off. And then over the next 48 hours, I drank the rest of that 6-pack, not to get a buzz, but to detoxed. I was working my way through withdrawal in a very unhealthy way. I mean, you should never do that, but that's what I was doing. And so it was shortly after that that I woke up one morning and I was drinking again, but I was not drinking quite as much. Woke up one morning hungover and I sat down and I wrote something, and it was 2 pages and it made me laugh, and I hadn't laughed for years at that point. And that turned out to be the first couple pages of my first book, which was Cellavision. It's a novel about the home shopping world, that whole world. And I didn't know what I had written, but it amused me, so I kept on writing, and I wrote till very late that night, and I drank a little bit less. And the same thing the next day. And again, I had no idea what I was doing or where it was coming from, and by the 7th day, I was not drinking at all. Thank you.
Miss Pepper?
Not for me.
No, thank you.
Because the drinking
your mouth
okay, yeah, well,
you know,
the drinking just got in the way of this writing that I was doing. And I mean, I knew I wasn't writing, you know, the next great work, but it was.
But you were proud of it.
It was something. I'd never written anything beyond an ad, you know, that was long. And so, at the 7th day, I'd finished the book. I didn't know if it was a good book or a bad book, but I'd finished a book, and that's really when my life changed. That's when I decided, I'm going to do this the rest of my life. I'm going to be a writer. You know, I've just finished writing a book. Now, it may be a piece of shit, but that doesn't matter. It's 150 pages, and they're in order. Yes, exactly. I had never understood when I read books. I began reading at 24. Never read before that. Once I started reading, I didn't want to do anything else. But I could never understand, how do you keep a whole book in your head? How does an author do that? How do you get a book? I mean, it's 250 pages, and yet it resides in your head. Where? How? And by writing my book, I saw firsthand how it happens. It's, for me, it was a totally subconscious, automatic. It was like watching a movie, and my fingers worked. I was fully unaware of. I didn't think about structure or characters. It just. I stared at the space between the screen and the keyboard and just was in a trance.
Can I give you some amount of respect for people who write a book of crap, but yeah. Write a book?
Yeah.
You know, like
any book is an accomplishment.
Yeah, where you're like, wow, you know, like, no. Because you can have the talent, but if you don't have that discipline to actually carry it through, the talent's wasted.
I had never had that discipline, and I didn't know where it came from. But once I did it, I knew I could do it again and again. And by the time I was 40 or 50 or in my 60s, if I kept doing this, if I kept writing a book not every 7 days, but a month or 2 months or even a year, eventually in my 50s or 40s or 50s or 60s, I would have written something that was publishable. And
how did you get the discipline?
Well, it was not so much discipline as I realized, this is me. This is what I'm going to do. This is it. It was an epiphany of, I'm home. What am I doing? I've wasted my life. The writing felt better than anything had ever felt. It felt better than any drug, and it felt better than any relationship. So that really changed a lot about me. I just the experience of having written it made me not care so much what other people thought. I then went out and tried to get an agent, and I did get an agent, and he did sell the book. And he sold it for, no money. But it was sold. And that's when everything really changed in my life, and I became much more confident with just being, just me, just myself. I didn't feel as
you were sober at the
damaged.
Time.
Yeah, I was sober at the time.
You couldn't have probably done all this without being sober.
Never. Oh no. No, nothing. I mean, I never wrote a word when I was a drunk. Never wrote a word sober. Very few. And after I sold Cellavision, I didn't have another idea for a novel, but I did have this journal that I'd written when I got sober, so I gave it to my agent, who asked, why didn't you show me this first? And my publisher bought it, and that's Dry. And then after they bought Dry, which was my journal, it was like selling someone my used tissues.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, my God, well, if you guys like that, I should tell you I had a really fucked up childhood. And they said, really, what happened? And I said, well, here. And I sat down in half an hour and I wrote a proposal for it and emailed it in. And that was Running with Scissors. and then they bought that, and then I had to go away and write it.
Did you read that, is it Chakotay?
Believe it or not.
Did you read the Vanity Fair interview with them?
I didn't read it, no. I heard about it.
You but just don't have an interest in...
How can I explain it so it makes sense? I don't want to see that family anymore. You know? I don't need to see... Whatever they said doesn't matter to me because what I wrote is the truth. So I don't need to hear them yammering on about whatever it is.
A debate that is not a debate.
It's not. I mean, you know what?
The world is denial.
The world is not flat. The world is not... You may not like it, you know? You don't have to believe it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to think it's polite. But it's true. You know, I may be an asshole for having written that book because if I'm telling family secrets, maybe that makes me an asshole, but I'm not a liar. You know,
and do you think that a memoirist has a responsibility to inform people that they're writing about them?
No. I think that I changed them in the book. I mean, I changed the house. I changed the location. You can't read the book and find the house. And people have tried. People have tried, and they're always wrong. I had a lot of people emailing me. You know, well, not a lot, but. Maybe, I don't know, 7 from the area guessing, you know, saying, I know exactly who this is. And, you know, it was funny because they weren't right. It was not, you know, that person that they thought it was. I changed their physical description. So I think if you're going to write about people, something that's potentially upsetting, you have sort of a moral obligation to at least give them privacy, which is what I did. I changed their name. I mean, you know, we wouldn't have known them if they hadn't announced to the world who they were.
Yeah.
They became public not because... They had said, apparently, in some magazine that I revealed their name, but I actually never did. I've never uttered their name in an interview. It's been put in my mouth, but I've never uttered their name. So I didn't read that. I don't read interviews with me because... I don't know why. It makes me uncomfortable. I'm not really sure why. Partly because there's nothing you can... If something's wrong, you can't do a thing about it. So I don't want to have to obsess over it.